Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this Palm Sunday. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear and discuss our Gospel from St. Matthew. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
The second Sunday of Easter is known as Divine Mercy Sunday. This year, that date is April 27th. Thursday, April 24th, through Divine Mercy Sunday, the 27th, Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana, in the shadow of the Blue Dome, is offering you the opportunity to gain a deeper understanding of the mercy of God, a God who loves us and wants us to recognize that His mercy is greater than our sins, so that we will call upon Him with trust, receive His mercy, and let it flow through us to others. To register for this Divine Mercy retreat, visit deepprayer.org or call the Retreat Center at 361-289-9095. Let His mercy show through you. Visit deepprayer.org.
Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very good, Barbara. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good. I've always liked this day in the church because it's always gorgeous, decorated in red and with the palms, and it's a special day.
That's right, and usually it's a beautiful day, and the flowers, of course, the bluebonnets are already gone. We're a little late this year getting into Easter, but what a beautiful display of spring flowers we had a few weeks ago. And so it really is a day to begin rejoicing in the celebration of Easter and the resurrection of the Lord. So
yes,
it's a great time of year.
It is. It is. Well, today we're going to hear a gospel in each of our segments. The first segment, we're going to have the procession into Jerusalem, and then our second segment will be a gospel about the crucifixion. Both gospels are from St. Matthew, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to His word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
When Jesus and His disciples drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find an ass tethered and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them here to me. And if anyone should say anything to you, reply, 'The master has need of them.' Then he will send them at once." This happened so that what had been spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Say to daughter Zion, 'Behold, your king comes to you, meek and riding on an ass, and a colt, the foal of the beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the ass and the colt and laid their cloaks over them, and he sat upon them. The very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and strewed them on the road. The crowds preceded him, and those following kept crying out and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds replied, "This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, between this gospel and then, of course, the gospel of the crucifixion that we'll have in the second segment, and even though there was a period of probably a couple of days when all of this happened, you couldn't have two opposites. People were so excited to see him coming into Jerusalem, and then on the flip side, the crowds turned.
Sure. And it is a beautiful day and very symbolic day to have this. Of course, you know, when you think about it, the palms, probably in Jesus' time, they didn't even have the palms. So that's why we really call it Passion Sunday. is a better expression for it. It was probably olive branches, which is a sign of peace. But again, you know, people were looking for that Messiah, political leader that could free them from the oppression and the of the Romans. And so it was still that great hope that this could be the one. But, you know, I think just the symbols that he used of riding on a donkey or an ass, you know, right. and a sign of humility and coming in that way and not being carried in as some king. And I think I should acknowledge even our own Pope now really kind of focusing our attention that way to be humble. We certainly need what we need. We can't walk around without a car. We got to have a car, but we need to look at how we approach who we are, especially those of us who are in any kind of ministry in the church.
Back to simplicity.
Right. And it's a freeing thing that we're really focused on the right things. And so Jesus gives a symbol of that in himself, even though people were proclaiming him as king. And we remember throughout the Gospels him saying, don't tell anyone, because he didn't want that kind of notoriety. He didn't want to be noted for any signs of power. But he wanted to be known as the one sent by God in humility, abasing himself as St. Paul writes so beautifully in the letter to the Philippians, that he comes as a humble person to bring us the love and the mercy of our God. I think what's really moving about this scene is also the words of the crowd when they begin to cry out, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And of course, that should resonate in all of our ears, because every time we celebrate the Eucharist, we celebrate Mass, we hear those words, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And it's placed right there as we enter now in the Mass, we enter into the Eucharistic prayer, prior to the consecration. And so it's almost in each Mass, at each time we attend Mass, we're reliving this very moment in the life of Jesus, that he is the one who has come to us. He is the one, even on this Sunday, and every Mass, every time we attend Mass, we are preparing ourselves to proclaim him as the Son of God, the Son of David, a Son of God, Son of Man, and the one who has come to redeem us. And so, Hosanna to him in the highest. And at that point, as we say those prayers in the Mass, we're now entering into the form of the Last Supper, where he says, this is my body and this is my blood over the elements of bread and wine, and it becomes his body and blood for us. And so it's a very biblical moment, as the whole Mass is biblical. The words, everything are related there. So these words are a part of our Eucharistic celebration each time, and they reflect the crowd, you know, looking to him, this is the one you have sent to us. And we should recognize and welcome him as our Lord and God in his own humility.
Mm-hmm. When I was researching for the program, the lecture book said that Matthew, far more than any other gospel writers, claimed that Jesus' actions fulfill the words of the prophets. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas the other ones maybe not as much. And Matthew mm-hmm. also combined the words of of Isaiah and Zechariah, because the colt and the ass are one animal, not two.
Uh-huh, right.
Which was
right.
interesting, because I remember it was only the ass
right.
last year and 2 years ago.
Right.
But it does, you almost think, well, he's riding on one and the other one's behind him.
Right.
But it's the same animal.
Right, yeah. And I think, you know, citing the prophet there is certainly, you know, bringing the fulfillment of what's been waited for. And you know, to recognize that your king does come to you meek and humble, riding on an ass. So, in other words, riding in this this very humble state of coming to you. So this is what you should look for, not for some kind of triumphant king entering, but looking for the humility of God who comes to us in this way. So
Well, I read also the Catechism said, and I'm quoting here, it said, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem manifested the coming of the kingdom that the King Messiah was going to accomplish by the Passover of his death and the resurrection. It is with the celebration of that entry on Palm Sunday that the church's liturgy solemnly opens Holy Week.
Right. And so that is something to remember, that this is the opening of Holy Week. And it's hopefully for all of us and those that are listening, we really try to keep it holy in the sense that we are reliving with Christ this very important moment in his life, which is ultimately then a very important moment in our life. I want to point out that this week on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, we will have the Chrism Mass, which is part of the Holy Week celebration. We'll have the Chrism Mass in the cathedral here in Corpus Christi with all the priests of the diocese. And we welcome all of you to come to this very beautiful celebration. If you've never been before, it kind of makes sense for the rest of the week. It usually was done, and it calls for still in our ritual that it be done on Thursday morning. But because of travel time and people getting ready for the Thursday evening, it's very difficult. So we do it on Tuesdays here in the diocese. So I'll be meeting with the priest during the day for just a talk as their bishop. And then we'll have a dinner together and get ready for the Mass. But it really is the time for us to bless the three sacred oils that we use during the rest of the year. The oil of the anointing of the sick, the oil of the catechumen in preparation for baptism, and the sacred chrism, which is the perfumed oil for a baptism, for confirmation, and for the ordination of priests. I don't think we'll be ordaining a bishop here again this year for quite a while, but for the ordination rites. And so having the priest there in the whole church, I mean, the church is usually full, the cathedral's usually well attended. It's us as a people of God, as the body of Christ, gathered around the bishop for the priest to renew their commitment to be committed to the life of Christ and the life of the ministry and the parish, and also the people of God praying with us over these oils that will be anointing their grandchildren, their children, and you never know, anointing the sick could be, I myself may be anointed by someone this year, or you may be,
that's
who knows?
Right. That's right.
We never know, and I think that's always a moving thing for me, as having been a priest and a bishop now, is those very oils that we're consecrating could be used this year in ways that we don't quite are aware of at this point. But it's Christ who comes to us in the sacrament of the Eucharist, and also comes to us through these oils. His presence is made known to us for our holiness.
Well, as a bystander, it is and having attended that Mass, it is a beautiful Mass, because you understand when you see the oils in your own parish, you understand where they came from, and it's beautiful.
They were not bought on the market or on eBay or something.
Right, it's beautiful seeing you and all of the priests there. So if anyone can make
it's
again,
it's a very
that's,
moving moment. Yeah,
it's 7 o'clock
on Tuesday.
We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation on this Passion Sunday. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Take a swing for a good cause. On Friday, April 25th, Our Lady of Corpus Christi will sponsor its second annual Blue Dome Golf Tournament at Oso Beach Municipal Golf Course on South Alameda, beginning at noon. Proceeds benefit Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center on Lantana, in the shadow of the Blue Dome. The format is four-man scramble, with prizes going to the top three teams. Other prizes will be awarded for closest to pin, longest drive, and so on. To enter or for more information, call 361-215-8173. Bishop Garriga Middle Preparatory School will host its third annual Queen of Hearts Night at the Holiday Inn Airport, 5549 Leopard Street, on Friday, April 25th. Among the many activities will be various table games, a delicious dinner, and a silent auction. Table sponsorships are now available. For more specifics, call Athletic Director Jack Tanney at 361-851-8151. 800-288-0853.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, our second segment, we're going to read the Gospel from St. Matthew of the Crucifixion.
Yes, and I just want to say that there's not much commentary that we can give to these. This is such a moving moment in the life of Jesus and in the life of the church to read the account of the crucifixion. So I would just ask the listeners to take it as a meditation, really. Mm-hmm. If you're driving, do not close your eyes. If you are at home or some other place, just maybe you want to close your eyes and just listen to the very powerful and moving account of Jesus's crucifixion. This is taken from the 27th chapter of Matthew. Jesus stood before the governor, Pontius Pilate, who questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?" But he did not answer him one word. So the governor was greatly amazed. Now, on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife came and sent him a message.
"Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him."
The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply,
"Which of the two do you want me to release to you?"
They answered, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?" And they said to him,
"Let him be crucified."
But he said,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
They only shouted the louder, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves." And the whole people said in reply,
"His blood be upon us and upon our children."
Then he released Barabbas to them, but after he had Jesus scourged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus outside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak around him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to be crucified. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon, and this man they pressed into service to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And they placed over his head the written charge against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself, if you are the Son of God, and come down from the cross."
Likewise, the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him and said, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"This one is calling for Elijah."
Immediately, one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and, putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said,
"Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to save him."
But Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And after coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening, and they said,
"Truly, this was the Son of God."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Very powerful.
Yes, it's, you can read it over and over and just try to imagine yourself being there and observing and watching these things and really watching the, the different people's expressions and somewhat not sure who he was, why this was happening. Is an innocent man. And yet others saying, he's blasphemed against God and called himself God's son. And so a very confusing time. And yet that's where faith comes in for us, to put our faith in that this is the one that God has sent to us and who shares our own fate, who shares our own life. And so Jesus didn't want to come as an all-powerful king, Messiah, in that sense, which we could not identify with. So much of his life is that he came so that we could identify with him, that any of us could say, yes, he knows what I'm going through because I see what he went through.
The human condition.
The human condition, actually, absolutely. That's the way that he entered into our human condition, our human state. And so he does understand.
And you've talked about this so many times also about during our life, we carry crosses, and it's such right. a visual on Holy Week and Good Friday when we think about that.
Right.
And we see him up on the cross and we think of our own crosses. He carried it and we do.
Right. And that's a good point, that this is a great time today on Passion Sunday, but also on Good Friday to really recall those crosses. I mean, we can't avoid them, and to ignore them or to push them aside or to think we're going to pray them away. But he entered it into our human condition. We have our crosses. What are they? It's very good to name the crosses of our life. And that way we don't ignore them, but we begin to understand because they have a name. And we can understand that that's part of our condition, and we unite that to Jesus who became that for us as well.
And maybe some of those crosses have resolved themselves, but during the time,
right.
they were a tough cross
sure,
to bear.
Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right, and that's so important.
Well, I think another thing that I noticed, and Matthew had it in his in this gospel that sometimes wasn't on the other gospels, before he dies, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Right, and that's reported in Mark and Matthew, the two Gospels. But nowhere at the end of the show, but that could, we could spend hours. Because talk about human condition, even agnostics have said, if he was God and human, then in that moment he totally entered into the human condition, because every one of us has those words in our heart and in our lips at one point or throughout life. Why have you forsaken me? Why am I alone? Why am I powerless? Why am I a failure? Why am I having to go through this?
Or did you forget about me?
Yes. Have you forgotten about me? So all these things, Jesus wanted to have the full experience of human existence without sinning, but to have our experience. And so in that moment today, theologians are really seeing that this was the moment of his fully human condition. Always God, but that God has become one of us in that experience of emptiness, that experience of loneliness, the experience of failure, the experience of weakness, of sin. Everything is right there in that cry of Jesus. He's ours. And I think, today and also on Good Friday, we can say he's ours. He's God's, but he's ours. Mm. And I would hope that all of us in a renewed act of faith will embrace him not only as our resurrection, as we heard last Sunday in the gospel with Lazarus, but also that he's ours in our human condition. He's not afraid to be a part of our human condition.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful reflection, Bishop. Thank you. If you could end our session this morning, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty ever-living God, who as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed his lesson of patient suffering and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing this Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed Holy Week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.